Good evening, everyone. Sorry about this episode being a tad late. I had a pretty crazy week between moving to a new house and a few work deadlines. But I am now mostly settled in the new place and ready to record you some new podcasts. Hopefully the sound quality's still alright. Last week, we were talking about Freud's early career, starting out in neuroscience and then coming up with his psychoanalytic theory. We know that his ideas are to take the world by storm, but how did that happen? You might think that given how widespread his ideas are today, they must have caught on quickly. But actually, no, not at all. In 1902, Freud had released his first book, The Interpretation of Dreams, which was about interpreting dreams, about 2 years ago. As per usual, scientists of olden times seemed to be really bad at coming up with interesting titles. The book had been printed a measly 600 times, and most of those copies still sat on bookshelves, unsold, even 2 years later. However, literally a few physicians were intrigued enough by his ideas to send him some mail, including one William Steckel. Steckel volunteered to be one of Freud's first psychoanalyzed patients, and later went on to become a psychoanalyst himself. But during his therapy with Freud, he proposed a really simple but incredibly vital idea to Freud's future success. Hold some discussion groups, and, you know, maybe tell some people in person about your ideas. So, in fall 1902, Freud sent out 4 postcards to just 4 local doctors. One of them read, quote, "A small circle of colleagues and supporters would like to give me the great pleasure of coming to my place one evening a week to discuss topics of interest to us in psychology and neuropsychology. Would you be so kind as to join us?" Given that just 4 people were invited, Freud was clearly not very popular yet. His invitees included William Steckel, one of the only people to actually read his book, 2 of his childhood friends, who I imagine felt obligated to support their old buddy, and finally, a doctor of some actual renown, named Alfred Adler. Adler was a prominent socialist of the time, who carried himself like a blue-collar laborer, and had published a book on health for tailors. Try to remember this guy, as we'll come back to him later. Luckily for Freud, all 4 men accepted his invitation. The group met in Freud's tiny, dark living room every Wednesday evening, and so they called themselves the Wednesday Psychological Society. Again, not good at interesting titles. These meetings didn't immediately attract much physician attention, but did get some new blood regardless, including an opera producer, a bookseller, an artist, and a novelist. The schedule was much the same each meeting. Everybody meet up at 8:30 p.m. sharp, then presentations would start at 9 p.m. I'm quite a night owl, but that seems pretty late to get started, even to me. After the talks, there was about 15 minutes set aside for socializing, complete with cigars, coffee, and cake. I know I'm certainly more likely to pay attention to your new ideas if you feed me. However, the last speaker of the night was always Freud, saving the best for last, I suppose. Early on, these meetings were mostly just focused on the theoretical applications of Freud's ideas. But soon, the various people wanted to go out into the world and help those with mental illness. Freud, believing that most psychiatric problems came from inner psychic conflicts, created a unique new treatment. He called it the talking cure. It was essentially a combination of 2 therapies that he had learned about earlier on in his career: hypnosis, which he had used previously to alleviate patients' symptoms, and the cathartic method, where a patient would just ramble about any thoughts they had, and Freud had also observed led to improvements in symptoms. Freud decided to combine these 2 techniques, and then mix in his new theories about the unconscious mind, and voila! The talking cure, also known as psychoanalysis, is born. The point of psychoanalysis was to probe the unconscious mind of each patient, to identify the conflicts which led to their disorder. In sessions, Freud would encourage patients to freely speak about anything that came to mind. He also requested that patients share their dreams, as in sleeping dreams, because he viewed these as an invaluable source of information about the unconscious, thus why his first book was about interpreting dreams. He sold his new technique as superior to existing methods, because while hypnosis only worked on about 1/3 of patients, psychoanalysis worked on everybody, at least according to Freud. The methodology of Freud was to become incredibly influential. Many traditions of patient-therapist interactions come from Freud's original practices. For example, frequent therapy sessions or 45-minute long sessions. Those practices come from Freud. Even if you haven't been to therapy before, I'd bet that if I ask you to imagine a therapy session, you imagine the patient in a big old armchair or sofa, which is also because of Freud's practices and clearly is still a thing to this day. The meetings of the Wednesday Psychological Society were working wondrously. Psychoanalysis and the number of its practitioners began to grow, far more than it ever did from Freud's book sales. Who would have thought that telling people about your idea might help spread it? However, some of these newcomers began to have new ideas. What if some psychic conflicts weren't actually about sex? Crazy, I know. Or perhaps instead of just three parts of the mind, there are actually four. Unfortunately, Freud is not a fan of these newfangled theories building off of his. Freud wanted to be in charge of the psychoanalytic movement, and went to extreme lengths to do so. So he decided to delete the Wednesday Psychological Society, which was still being held in his now very overcrowded parlor. Next, in 1908, just 6 years after he first began holding his humble meetups, he formed a new, more exclusive club. Only attendees who were fully committed to Freud's ideas were invited back, while everyone else was dropped. And this new group of just 22 members reintroduced itself as the Psychoanalytic Society. As you might imagine, Freud's need for control is to have consequences down the line. And next week, we'll talk through some of the fights that he gets into with former friends and protégés. As always, thanks for listening. If you'd like to contact me, feel free to use any of the links in the show notes. Thanks also go out to Jojo Tang for editing, Angie Lee for our cover art, and Muse Open for this music.